Blog Talk Radio.
Mother Valerie, how are you this lovely, cool morning? I try.
I'm blessed. I'm good.
I am as well. I'm just grateful to have another day on this side of the earth. Can I say it? Thanking God
Amen.
For another day and the breath in my body. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. And I know I'm blessed. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Having a great morning already. Being awake again, God is waking me up early in the morning. So thanking him for waking me up and thanking God I went to bed early. So I got
Amen.
In a good night's sleep. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I'm all excited this morning, Mother. I'm so excited. We are starting
Amen.
A new book.
And
Amen. Get ready. Daniel is a no-nonsense kind of book. And so we're going to do some study of Daniel. After Mother prays us in this morning, pray us in, Mother. Take us to the throne of grace.
Father God, this is a beautiful morning. You did it again. Thank and praise you for who you are. We exalt you, Abba. We give you praise and honor and glory. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for giving Pastor Bridges sleep. Thank you, God, for starting all of us on our day. Let this be a blessed day. Let your word go forth and let the baptism be done decently and in order, and let me be able to read for her the way she wants, the way you want. And God, I give you praise and honor and glory for being our God, for you are Jehovah. You are Abba, your daddy. Thank mm-hmm. you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, you did it again. You gave us
yes.
the Son of God. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Ooh, did it again. Hey, thank you, God. And I just have to say Daniel. And it says the author of Daniel is likely Daniel, though some question this. Chapters 7 through 12 are written in the first person, first I, Daniel, 7:15. So the first six chapters are in third person. Then Daniel answers. Says this, the period of the date was the period of the Babylonian captivity, approximately 605 to 538 B.C. In 10 words or less, faithful to God, in a challenging setting, Daniel is blessed. Come on now. Daniel had that Joseph moment. Because think about it. Joseph also sold, but in his Joseph case, sold into slavery by his brothers. But God opened doors for him to become the second in command of Egypt, to be in charge of food distribution, to be in charge of everything. Joseph was that. Daniel and his three friends came into captivity And God took them from being slaves to being in command of things. And understanding that when God elevates, there's going to be a hater. And that hater can either destroy you or that hater can make you better. We all have had them. As we moved up in the ladder of things, you know, I went from a private secretary to a senior public service administrator. And yes, I had some haters. But understand, I had grades for everything. I had grades for it, so I wasn't just put in a position like many. I had to earn it. And Daniel, they earned those positions. Joseph earned his position. Even with the ratchet woman, Potiphar's wife, God still helped him overcome. And he earned it. He earned everything that he had. Through God, God can open doors and make a way. And Daniel, they were young. When they first came to Babylon, they were young men. And it says that the young man, Daniel, along with three others to be known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are taken from their home in Jerusalem to serve the king of Babylon. Daniel's God-given ability to interpret dreams endears him to King Nebuchadnezzar, whose vision of a huge statue, Daniel says, represents existing and future kingdoms. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find trouble when they disobey an order to bow before a statue of Nebuchadnezzar. As punishment, they are thrown into a fiery furnace where they are protected by angelic beings like the Son of God. 3:25, and I like to say, was the Son of God. I believe that Jesus was right there with them, protecting them, talking with them, guiding them, because Jesus has been to and through the fire. Come on now. The next Babylonian king, Belshazzar, throws a drinking party using cups stolen from the temple in Jerusalem. He literally sees the writing on the wall, which Daniel interprets as the soon-to-come takeover of Babylon by the Medes. The Median king Darius keeps Daniel in an advisor that is tricked into passing a law designed by other jealous officials, there they are, to hurt Daniel, who ends up in a den of lions. Once again, God protects his people. Daniel spends the night and replaced by the schemers, who are mauled by the hungry beast. The final 6 chapters contain Daniel's prophetic visions, including that of 70 weeks of the end time. Come on, that's our time. Our God, quotable from Daniel, our God whom we serve is to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hands, O King. 3:17. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. 6:22. Oh, my God, we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy. 9:8. The unique and unusual about the book of Daniel. The book was originally written in 2 languages, Hebrew, the introduction, and most of the prophecies, chapter 1 and chapter 8 through 12, and Aramaic, the stories, chapters 2 through 7. So what, as the old song says, dare to be a Daniel, God will always take care of the people who dare to stand alone, to have a purpose for him. Daniel didn't mind standing alone. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we know them, did not have a problem standing alone. But these young men whom God chose for such a time as this were not afraid. They were not afraid. And if you want to know their real names, it was Hananiah became Shadrach, Michael, became Meshach, and Azariah became Abednego, and I probably did not pronounce Michal's name right, but I believe it's Michal. So these young men did what God told them to do. And when they came in, they wanted to give them decadent food and stuff out of their way. And they're like, nah, can't eat that. And what? Can't eat it and didn't eat it. Can't and didn't. And we have to have a can't and don't in our spirit as well. Mother Valerie will be coming to you from Daniel chapter 1 and 2, and I'll be back with some life questions from the book of Daniel. And Mother will have some life lessons from Daniel. And our title for this morning, for those that need one, is God Resists the Proud, but Gives Grace to the Humble. Can we say it again? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Mother Valerie, it is all yours. Take us to the throne.
Amen. That's good. God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. And that's a true statement, a very true statement. He resists the proud. I mean, you have to humble yourself up under the mighty hand of God, and we should. We should. We really, really should. I'm in Daniel 1 and 1, 2 and 49. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He besieged it. Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpan, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, some of the king's descendants, and some of the king's noble young men, in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessed in knowledge, quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily portion of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah was Daniel, Hananiah, Meshach, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave some. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Meshach, and to Abednego. And Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacy, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than your young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hanan, Meshach, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Let them give us vegetables to eat, water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servant. So he consented with them in this matter and test them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the king's portions of the king's delicacy. You know, that's the way we do. If we eat vegetables, really do eat vegetables, go on a fast, some vegetables, and drink water, your face and the texture of your skin and everything becomes better. They did it in Daniel's days. And we sometimes do it in our days. We go on a fast of just vegetables. And another guarantee of that, you will lose weight. So it's a win-win situation. You'll look better. You'll feel better. you'll walk lighter and you lose weight, and your bones, they feel good. Thus the steward took away their portion of devil's seeds, and the wine that they were to drink gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. I mean, this knowledge and wisdom came from God. Everything comes from God. Now, at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all none was found like Daniel. Like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Arias. Therefore they served before the king. And all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were all in his realm. Thus Daniel continued into the first year of King Cyrus. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave command to all the magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I have had a dream. My spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation. King answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you, for you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretations. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler have ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. You know, that's something. King wanted them to tell them his dream and its interpretation, but he wouldn't tell them what he had dreamed. He just wanted them to answer everything and say everything, and they told him nobody can do that but God. Or they said gods. Nobody can do it but gods. Nobody can do it. It's a difficult thing that the king requests. He said for this reason the king was angry, very furious, gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's court, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hannah, Meshach, and Arioch, his companions, that they might seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the season. He removes king, raises up king. He gives knowledge to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demands. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, I found a man of the captives of Judah who would make known to the king the interpretation. King answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. There's a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. And that's a true, beautiful statement, for there is a God in heaven. That same God has given his spirit to us to help us deal with our lives here on earth. There is a God in heaven. He said, your dreams and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets have made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its leg of iron, its feet partly of iron, partly of clay. You watched while stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on the feet of the iron and the clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold was crushed together, became like chaff from the summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that was struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over all. You are the head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. Fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces, crush all the others. Wherein you say the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay, partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with clay, and as the toes of the feet were partly of iron, partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven, will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you thought that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that they broke the pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is true. It's true because God is real, and the God of heaven, who made the heaven and the earth, told this to the king, so it had to come to pass. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." I mean, like they told him, all the sorceries and all the people told him, only a God can reveal secrets. I mean, the king asked them to tell the dream and its interpretation and wouldn't even tell them what the dream was. And he was going to put them to death, going to kill all of them, going to kill them all if they couldn't do this. But Daniel was able to do it. He said, "Not because I'm doing this." He made sure that he gave credit to God, because God resists, he resists the proud. And Daniel humbled himself. Then the king promoted Daniel, gave him many great gifts. He made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel positioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Oh, yeah. I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel was blessed. He sat in the gate of the king only because God gave him wisdom. King was going to chop everybody's head off, kill them all. But he had asked a hard thing, a very hard thing. And the wise men, they were angry. And said, how can we do this? We can't tell you what you dream. We can give you the interpretation of the dream if you tell us the dream. And he told them no. I'm not going to tell you anything. You're going to tell me what I dream, and then you're going to give the interpretation. They couldn't do it. But God gave Daniel the wisdom to do it. Life lesson, Daniel 1:17. God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God has the power and wisdom and resolve to equip you fully for whatever test or position he wants you to tackle. We will never fail in a God-given test because God failed to give us what we need. God don't fail. God will give you exactly what you need to accomplish what he wants you to accomplish. If it's something that God wants you to do, you'll be able to do it, and you'll know that it's from God, because God will give you the strength to do it. He'll give you the wisdom to do it, and you'll be able to do it. Daniel 2:16. Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. He wanted time so he could go before God. And then he went to bed, went to sleep, and God gave it to him in a dream. That's why Daniel asked for time. Don't chop the heads off of the wise men of Babylon, the sorcerers. Don't, just give me time. And the king gave Daniel time, and God gave the answer. Before Daniel even brought his urgent request to God, he demonstrated his trust in him by telling the king that he would give him what he wanted. Trust in God means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. We have to trust God. We have to believe God. If you tell a child, a little bitty child, jump out the window and it's high up, just jump. Mommy and Daddy will catch you. Do you know that child will actually do what you tell it to do? Because they trust you. You're Abba. You're Daddy. You're Daddy to them. And we need to trust God. If God tells you to do something, trust him. If God tells you to jump out the window, jump out the window. But you better make sure, that God is talking to you. You have to know that you know that you know that you know that is God. God is good. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
And Mother, thank you so much. That, what a great word. And, you know, I had to come back with the answer to life question. How can I become a more obedient Christian? From Daniel chapter 1, verses 4 through 16. It says obedience is the bottom line in the Christian life. You know, as we know from Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, Saul went out and did what he wanted to do because Samuel was late. He didn't come when Saul thought he should get there. Samuel was on time. Saul was just a little too early and didn't have any patience. He had become proud. He had become, I'm the king and I can do whatever I want to do. He forgot to be humble before God. And he decided to do what he was going to do. And he lost his kingdom to David, who was obedient to God. And who knew how to repent. Paul never repented. He never repented from what he did. You know, and even went so far as to try to call Samuel up from the dead. A total no-no. No medium. No talking to the dead. You know, I remember a witch came into our church. And
my
God
Lord
showed me that she was a witch. And she made a comment as I was walking past her. I can talk to your husband. I thought, I said, and no, you can't. And when I looked at her, I was on fire for God. God had put a fire in me that morning. And then I understood why later God had put that fire to protect me from that witch. She came
My
in
Lord.
And sat in the back and even had the nerve to join church.
Whoa.
So she was up there and she was mumbling and she was like, yeah, I can talk. I can talk to her. I can talk. I can talk to the dead. And when she said it and she whispered it, and I believe Minister Shannon was another one that heard her, and she moved. When I walked past her, she jumped and moved all the way to the middle of the pew. And Minister Shannon was on the other end. She moved back. I thought, you are sausaging by the Holy Spirit.
My
but she was something. Never came back after that day because she came for an assignment and she completed it. She completed the assignment. But God got the glory from it. God got the glory and God continues to get the glory. But she came in for a purpose to try to disrupt our ministry. And God showed me clear as day. All I heard is I walked past her. Beware witch. Beware witch. And when she said she could talk to my dead husband, I knew good and well she was a witch and a medium. And she thought she was going to come in and create confusion. And like I said, she had an assignment to try to destroy our ministry. But God said, not today. Not today, Satan. Never saw her again. Never came back in the church again. Dressed all in black with a hat on. And I thought, oh, my, you could feel the something coming off of it. And it was just so happened that God had given me a book to read called Witches in the Pew.
My Lord.
And it had said how you determine and how you can see them. And one of those things was that they have the power of the medium to talk to the dead. And that they would try to take over a service. And it was so weird, but I never will forget that. I can talk to your dead husband. I thought, not today you won't, and not tomorrow, next day either, because I'm not playing that game. you witch. You know, I was like, uh-uh.
Amen.
But I was grateful that God had set a fire in my soul, that he had set a fire in my soul. Thank you, Jesus, that I could see past the surface, looking kindly but evil to the core.
My God.
It says it's obedience is the bottom line in Christian life. So what is it? Obedience means compliance to the plan, conformity to the pattern, observance of the rules, adherence to the standard, and submission to another's will. If we want to obey the Lord, we need to know what action God wants us to take, what attitude would most please him, what required steps may be along the way, and how we get ourselves to that point of obedience. First, we have to know what God's commandments are. We cannot obey what we do not know or understand. And we get
Amen.
God's perspective by becoming familiar with his word. But simply knowing God's word isn't enough. We must also tap into his power through the Holy Spirit, who helps us relate God's commands to our own situation and who assists us in determining the wisest course of action. Once we decide to obey, we can expect a challenge to compromise. It takes commitment and courage to obey God. In the face of these challenges, courage to give up what we like to do, what he asks, courage to do things that may bring unwelcome results, courage to rearrange our schedule to match his plan, courage to love the unlovely, to forgive the seemingly unforgivable, and to give when we want to keep. Whew. Since Satan doesn't want us to follow God, he will offer temptation after temptation to divert us to another place or to weaken us through small steps of disobedience. How can we counter his challenge to compromise? By renewing our resolve to obey as Jesus did. When Jesus neared the end of 40 days of fasting and prayer, following his baptism, Satan came at him hard, tempting him to compromise on his calling. But Jesus stood up to Satan with courage and answering temptation after temptation with the word of God. Commitment like his involves loving God above all else, obedient action, a determined attitude, and a willingness to suffer any consequences that flow out of compliance. Whenever you feel tempted to disobey God, remember that your faithfulness and devotion to Christ are at stake. Ask yourself, is my understanding of Scripture increasing? Am I able to hold to God's plan without compromise? How committed am I to obeying God? If I love him, I'll obey him. So how much do I really love him? Those are questions we got to ask ourselves. Are we proud or are we humble? God wants us to be humble. In everything we do, we have to be humble to God. Psalm 135, verses 15 through 21. And I'll be also in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 10. And we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll be ending 1 Peter today. And we'll be starting in 2 Peter, God willing, on tomorrow. So we're just moving right along, family.
Amen.
We will, by December 31st, Mother, finish up Revelation chapter 22. Come
Amen.
On now. We'll be there.
Amen.
Chapter 22, verse 21. We'll be there one day, God willing. And the word of God says, the idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Come on now. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouth. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Come on now. You have folks sitting in front of some little idol, mumbling jumbo with their incense, like that idol's going to be able to do something for them. I'm sorry. It was made by the hands of man. I don't care what kind of material it is, whether it's ivory, silver, or gold. It was made by the hands of men. And all the mumbling and jumbling and incense and anything else is not going to change the fact that it is an idol and it cannot do anything. Only one that can do anything is God. And you have to be careful as you step before that idol that you're not summoning a demon to take possession of yourself. We got to be careful what we do. We can't play with that kind of stuff. And it said, bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. We got to praise God this morning. We got to give God our absolute best praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, of the praise. Praise the Lord this morning. Proverbs 29:10, the bloodthirsty hates the blameless, but the upright seek his well-being. Come on. All I think about when I saw that was the Good Samaritan. Beat down this man was. Bloody, a bloody heap of mess. Robbed, beat, everything. Because of some bloodthirsty, hateful men. Beat him up, took his stuff. But folks that were supposed to be upright walked past. And the one you least expect sought the well-being of this man, this victim. He sought the well-being of him. We got to praise God. We got to thank God. We got to resist the proud and know that the humble have grace. We got proud folks who think they are above the law, who think they can do whatever they want because they are a 1%er. I got money, so I can do whatever I want. And I don't care about anybody else but myself. And I will get revenge on anybody who says I can't have what I want. I call it the spoiled child mentality. Parents, we got to be careful that we don't spoil our children to the point where they don't feel they can lose. They don't feel that they can, that everything they want, they should get. And it doesn't matter how they get it. Lie, cheat, steal, they don't care because they haven't been taught to love God and to be humble. We got to teach our children to be humble before God. Because we will be held accountable for it. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. And be clothed with humility for us. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. God is speaking to us through the word, through Peter today. Peter knows about this. Peter was one of them proud disciples and apostles. Amen. He was all that. But when it came time to stand up, Peter was one of the first ones. Say, I don't know him. Nope, I don't know him. And then it's like, oh, shoot. He said that I would deny him 3 times before the rooster crowed. And he did. And that's when Peter became humble. That's when Peter humbled himself. And I think Peter was just a little touch jealous of John and Mary. because when Jesus was speaking to him and telling him, hey, I'm going to build my church on you. And then when John was like, well, what about him? You know, all righty then. That's not, I don't have any concern with you. If I say he's going to live forever, then that's what's going to happen. You know, but Peter was like, well, but understand, that is exactly what happened. He built this church around Peter. Peter was a high elder. He was an overseer. But even Paul had to put Peter in check to say, okay, wait a minute now. When the Jews come, you set yourself apart from the Gentiles. But when they're not around, you're over here with the Gentiles, talking and yucking it up and preaching and teaching. But when the Jews come, you act like you don't know folks. But let me tell you something. And then God had to show him in a dream. What was it? A big old sheep with all kind of animals. And God told him to eat. He said, Lord, I'll eat unclean. And God said, you got to bless it. And he blessed it. It don't matter. You know, and all through the word we've heard, when you bless something, it doesn't make it unclean. You know, we have a lot of folks trying to go take us back through the Old Testament. But the one thing that Jesus said, that he did not come to change the law of the prophets. And when we talk about that, we talk to them top teams. Jesus let us know, they will always be there. And then what he did was he took the top five and divided it into the ten, divided it into two. The first half, if you read the Ten Commandments, the first half is all about God, all about God. And what did Jesus say? That you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second and greatest commandment is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. If you take the second half of the Ten Commandments, it deals with people, deals with your neighbor. Don't steal, don't kill, don't covet, don't murder. Right there. So he didn't change anything. He compacted it. But he let us know, this law ain't changing. The laws of the prophets are not changing. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And that was family too. Jesus didn't come to change stuff. He came to fulfill it. And we can't get all crazy about stuff. We got to watch and read and study. And then it tells us in our word this morning, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And it says, by Sylvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greet you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you, all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Peace to you. Greet each other with a kiss of love. We got to love each other. You know, at our church we say, we welcome you with love, peace, and joy. Peter said, peace to all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we know when we have love and peace, we have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We got to love God, and we got to love each other. That's all God asks of us, to love each other and to cast our cares upon him, because he cares for us. And as we go into the life lessons, it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. And I have to say, I have that pastor. She's been on the show. She's spoken. And I tell you this, that is her heart. She loves God's people. I have been with her, phone ringing all night, everything. She's getting up during the middle of the night, go answer the phone, take care of church business. And that's when I pray, Lord, give her breath, give her peace.
Amen.
Let everything fall into place so she's not having to get up all during the night to handle and put out fires. And members need to understand that she is a human being and that she needs rest too.
Amen.
But she will go to the limit for everybody. Today, as an example, she is baptizing 18 people. That's amazing. 18 people. That's godly. And we ask God this morning as we come together, Lord, give us strength to do your will, to bring these people to Christ as they die to sin and are raised in the holiness through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it tells us in our word today, God delights in willing service, not in grudging obedience, as if we were doing him a favor by complying with his instructions. Eager obedience reveals a heart in love with the one who gave the command. Ugh, I got to go to church again. I'm so tired. We in church every day. And Monday we got this. On Tuesday we got that. On Wednesday we got something else. On Thursday we got this. On Friday, here we go again. On Saturday, here we go. And then we back to Sunday. We don't have no break. I guess I got to go. God don't want that. If you don't want to come, stay home. Because that horrible spirit don't need to be in the house of God. I'm doing you a favor, God, by coming to your house. No, stay home until you get yourself right with God. He can come back. Because so many times we come in the house of God with bad spirits and create confusion within the church body because them spirits start to fly. I watched at a certain situation I was having where I actually stood and I watched this black cloud, it was like this thing come out of one person, and I watched it go into another. And then I watched it go into another. And I started to pray, and I heard God say, humble yourself. Don't speak. Don't say anything. I got it. Let your light shine. And I thought, wow. I didn't know I had heard those things, but when you see it for yourself, that a dark spirit can come up out of folks and go from person to person, and you watch the faces change. You watch it. You see it. And it's like, wow. Wow, God. Whew. You have to be careful. You got to be prayed up. If you are in leadership of anything, whether it's secular or whether it's through the house of God, you've got to be prayed up. Because if you are not, the enemy is coming at you full force. And you wonder why folks lose their mind because they can't deal with it. Because they didn't go prayed up. And it tells us this. And Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Regardless of the concern or worry, God wants us to bring everything to him. He always has our best interests at heart and will arouse all his infinite power to help us become the people we are meant to be. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We must never forget that we are in a spiritual war. We're at war, family. Regardless of how well things may seem to be going for us, we live in a perpetual war zone. How many casualties occur because we think we live in a time of peace? Bam. Dr. Stanley, don't play. Keep it real. And I tell you, we are at war in the spiritual realm. We are fighting a fight of faith. We got to let the enemy know, I'm a child of God, and I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm a child of God. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, and we need to claim that. Wherever you go, I'm a child of God, and I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against me will prosper. We got to speak that word. And it says this in the word this morning from Sister Carolyn. Good morning. Know this. God is not limited. Come on, sis. Anything is possible with him. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Can I say it again? Know this. God not limited. Anything is possible with him. Have a wonderful Wednesday. And we got to remember that when we cast all our cares upon him, but he cares for us. He cares for you. Cast all your cares upon him. For he cares for you. And remember, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is not limited. Anything is possible with him.
Amen.
Trust God this morning. Humble yourself. Don't be so proud. I'm peacock proud. No. You better let them feathers down. But God will send in the rain and wake you up. We got to understand who we belong to and that we are loved by him. And that is our word for this morning. Mother Valerie, I am so grateful. Thank you so much for being here today. And I am going to go to our prayers this morning. We haven't had time come from our prayer book. On the live show, but today God has given me a minute to go to our prayer book on this 29th day of November. And it says, waiting for me. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Know that God is not limited. Anything is possible with him. It says, merciful one, give me the grace I need to get through today. Even as I pray this, I recognize I want more than just to get through. Whatever lies before me this day will be met with the sufficiency of your grace. If I face difficult situations that make me want to run away instead of face them with kindness and truth, give me the perseverance I so desperately need. When I want to turn and take the easy way out instead of choosing the way of your humble love, fill me with the determination that chooses your way over my own. Lord, as I submit my will to yours, I will find life in the end, no matter what the middle end of looking like. Give me the strength I need for this day and help me not to get ahead of myself. I am connected to the source of life. I believe that I have everything I need for everything I face because I am in you. Hallelujah. And the question for this morning is, when hard situations arise, do you persevere or run away? We got to persevere. We got to be humble. We got to let God know, Lord, I give it to you. Guide me and lead me. Because God is not limited. Anything is possible with him. And remember this, as you go through, don't be peacock proud. Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Thank you so much, family. Mother Valerie, it has been a pleasure. All of you, thank you for joining us this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. We ask you to continue keeping us in prayer, keep each other in prayer. As we pray for you, you pray for us. And as we end this morning with our benediction, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord. Keep an
Amen.
In his awesome and loving hands. and watch him work in your life. Mother Valerie, I love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest. I got to go to work. So I will talk to you again, God willing, on tomorrow. Hallelujah. Have a blessed day, family. It is.
It's
Mother, what is it? It's a wrap.
Okay.
Have a great day. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Amen.